Support for WPR comes from the DNR's eCycle Wisconsin program. Many communities will hold electronics collection events this spring. Collection sites and events at dnr.wi.gov. Search eCycle. Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded. From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office, right?
But we are real.
We're real.
We are not virtual.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
Real people.
That's right.
We're going to talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails and a few of your voicemails as well. If you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics, Zorba.
Right. We're going to talk about back pain, chronic back pain, acute back pain, scientific evidence of what works and doesn't work. And back pain is a common problem throughout the country. And then what can improve your sleep? Well, it may be something as simple as wearing socks.
Interesting. Can't wait for that one. And what's the special recipe
today? Oh, it's a breakfast recipe. Smoked salmon with scrambled eggs. Mm. It is really, really good.
That sounds great. All right. To the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's welcome our first caller now from Ozark, Missouri. Hi.
Hello there.
How can we help you?
I've had a condition that's been annoying me for 40 years or more where food gets stuck in my throat during the normal course of eating. Ordinarily, I can push it down with another bite of food, and if that doesn't work, a good splash of water will flush it down. And I want to be clear that I'm not choking.
So have you been scoped by a gastroenterologist? Has anyone looked down your gullet?
Absolutely.
So what did they find?
Well, the doctor suggested inserting an endoscope of increase in diameters in an attempt to stretch out my throat.
Mm-hmm.
This was 10 or 15 years ago. As I recall, they probably did two or three iterations of that, meaning separate
right.
appointments. I don't know how many times he put a bigger endoscope in there. My personal opinion is it was ineffective.
Sure. And you would definitely be the one to know, because you're the one who's swallowing.
Right. So my question is, I still have episodes. There's maybe half a dozen dramatic episodes where the usual stuff doesn't work and it takes some extra gyrations to get the food down or up.
Uh-huh.
My question is, do you have any knowledge or experience with this? I can't be the only one in the world with this fact.
No. You're not the only one by any means. So first of all, one of the things when patients come into my office and they say food gets stuck, I send them to my local gastroenterologist. They go in, they look at it. They biopsy. They want to make sure there's no cancer involved. This has been going on for years, so there's clearly no cancer involved because they would have seen it by this time, or you would have had other symptoms, or the cancer would have started to invade it. So that's one thing we look at. The other thing we look at is acid reduction, because we know that's part of it. So I assume they put you on acid reducers. Is that the case?
No, I was never prescribed anything.
Really? You were never prescribed either Prilosec or Famotidine to reduce acid going into your stomach?
Again, this was 10, 15 years ago.
Got it.
I really don't
Got
recall it.
Okay.
being prescribed
okay.
anything.
Okay, so quite a long time ago. So I've got a question. Is it beginning progressively worse, or is it just sort of the way it occurs? In other words, has it changed at all?
No, it has not changed. Mm-hmm. I've learned to live with it by taking smaller bites, chewing more thoroughly.
Right.
Not taking another bite until the first one's all the way down.
Yeah.
I've had about a half a dozen episodes. The most recent one was 2 weeks ago, which is what brought it to my mind and thought to call you.
So you've been stretched a couple of times, but the last time that anything was done was a bunch of years ago, more than a decade ago. Have you thought about going back and having them look at it again and stretch it again, or you don't think it's really done anything? What I'm going to get your feeling for that.
I'm an engineer, and I know things. I just don't believe that the throat stretching worked.
Okay, and you would know that because you would have it symptomatically. Okay, so first of all, I'm sure you're not the only person, because people in my practice who have gotten stretched, a lot of them say, really, I feel better, and then they have to get it stretched again. Some need to have it stretched every 6 months, every year, some every 2 or 3 years. And for some people, they go, it really hasn't done very much, and they adjust to it. So there's something going on in the base of your esophagus, somewhere along, but probably along the base of the esophagus, just above the sphincter, which really lets food go down in the stomach and keeps acid from shooting up into your esophagus. Right around that area is usually the problem. So I would try it. There's a non-invasive thing that I would still try to see if it's worked, and that would be an acid reducer. And I would try that for 6 to 8 weeks to see if that did anything. And what I would take, if you were my patient, and I would say, I would take Prilosec, over-the-counter Prilosec, omeprazole, cheap, inexpensive. I would take 40 milligrams in the morning when I got up before I had any food. I tell people, here it is, put it in the bathroom right next to where you brush your teeth. Take this before you brush your teeth so it's in your stomach before you eat anything. And that's what I would do. And I would take 40 milligrams in the evening, at the end of the evening before you go to sleep. And I would try to get the acid in your stomach really down and see if that makes a difference. Because it's possible that splashing acid is making this worse. Now, it may not do anything, but it's a non-invasive way, you know, of looking at it. And then, you know, you've made lifestyle changes, you know, chewing better, because basically this is an architectural thing going on in your stomach. But if you haven't had acid reduction, I would do that. I would see if that made a difference.
Okay. All good stuff. Thank
you. I know. And as an engineer, as you know, sometimes you take a second look, you try the same equation, and it may work and it may not work. My son's a mechanical engineer, and he always goes, try it again. That's what he says with some things.
Absolutely.
So great. Thank you. Thanks very much for your call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's do our first healthy living topic. And this is something on the show, it seems like it comes up every once in a while. A lot of people have this problem.
Oh, yeah.
Back pain.
Yeah. Do you get back pain?
I've had it over the years here and there.
Yeah. How long does it last when you get it?
It depends on what happened. I mean, I had a basketball injury years ago, and I had a little bout with sciatica for a bit on that. I haven't had that for years. Yeah, it went away.
Hey, Brad, do you have back pain?
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time.
Can you, are you telling us a story? Yeah, tell us that story.
Yeah, that's right. The back pain story. That's right. That's when you were chasing a fire-eating dragon and then, you know, got smashed like Mario.
Correct.
Nailed that one, Zorba.
I mean, Mario. I mean, he's got to have back pain after all these years, right, Super Mario?
Yeah, he's got.
Come on, the guy's got it bad. He works really hard.
All that plunging.
That's right. The plunging goes really back pain.
But yeah, he's a plumber.
Back pain is a major issue. And when you look from a disability point of view, it's a major issue with disability. And it's not, I mean, people who engage in manual labor have back pain, but a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Now, I first developed back pain when I was in my 20s. I have no idea. Intermittently, I have sacroiliac back pain that kind of comes and goes. And then that back pain got worse. I get a little neuropathic back pain on and off. And it's not as if I ever had a manual labor job other than in the summer when I was a teenager. I sit. But sitting too much produces back pain. Lifting too much produces back pain. Mm-hmm. Genetics produces back pain.
Really?
Pretty much anything. And you ask people if they have back pain, easily everyone has had back pain, but there's acute and there's chronic. You know, acute is like you say, basketball injury, twist wrong, fall. I was, a couple of years ago, I was with a different trainer, and I was trying to do some like step-ups on a little sort of Bosa ball, I think it was called. And all of a sudden, I went off the Bosa ball in the back, developed back pain in my SI joint, and that lasted for at least 6 months. Mm. And I'll never forget it. And periodically, it still bothers me. And I was doing exercise.
Yeah.
I'm being a good guy, right? You know, I'm not supposed to get bad back pain when I exercise, but it can happen. But this particular study, basically, they looked at a bunch of pooled studies, like what's working, what's not working. And they basically wanted to look at non-surgical treatments. Now, surgical treatments, we don't jump in with back pain ever, because back pain over time often gets better with non-surgical treatments. Well, the question is what works. They looked at over 300 trials, 56 different treatments in back pain, 44 different countries, U.S., all of North America, South America, Asia, and Africa. And they looked at the most common interventions, first of all, for acute back pain. What do you think works? Acute back pain, suddenly you get it. What do you think is the most common intervention? Just take a guess.
Just like an over-the-counter anti-inflammatory?
You got it.
Okay.
That's exactly right. Over-the-counter anti-inflammatories. I like naproxen, which is a generic Aleve, because it's a 12-hour drug, two tablets twice a day for 10 to 14 days. Can often work. Or ibuprofen. Got to take it in a dose that's good enough. Double the dose on the over-the-counter medicine. It says two tablets, which is 400 milligrams every 8 hours, make it 800 milligrams every 8 hours. Yes, some people who are older can't tolerate it, but most people can. That was the most effective treatment. But the other thing that was also effective for acute low back pain, spinal manipulation. Mm. So chiropractors.
Sure.
Makes a big difference. That's where they make their money. That's what they do best in acute back pain. It really makes a difference. Exercise made a difference. In other words, getting those muscles to move will make a difference. That also really helps. Taping can make a difference.
Oh.
In other words, some people move taping to just kind of get it to the side. So those work for acute back pain. Chronic back pain, a little bit more difficult. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit harder. Chronic back pain often comes and goes. And I think you really need, especially from my read of this, you need multiple things. So for some people, once again, daily anti-inflammatories, Tylenol, generic Tylenol works. Not as good for many people, but it works for some. But the other thing is that low-dose antidepressants at bedtime, something called tricyclic antidepressants, nortriptyline in a 25-milligram dose at bedtime every night can really be effective for people with low back pain. But the other thing is cognitive behavioral therapy.
Oh.
CBT.
CBT.
How do you live with it? In other words, there are a lot of people with chronic low back pain who want it to go away, and it will never go away. But it can be off to the side, like tinnitus. You can get it to the side where it doesn't bother you as much. You have an acute episode. You do a little bit more, but you have a chronic episode. So do not discount cognitive behavioral therapy for low back pain. That can make a difference. So this study really showed that there are things that work, and they don't work. But acute, you take anti-inflammatories. Chronic, spinal manipulation and other things that will make a difference. And then you have to figure out how to live with something if it's truly chronic.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go to a voicemail now. This is from a listener in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hello, Zorba. I was just listening to the latest broadcast, and you're talking about parenting, keeping people young. I'm a 56-year-old old dad. My daughter's 15, and it's absolutely true. I spend half my life working, the other quarter sleeping, and then I probably spend the other quarter doing things with her, cooking. I love to cook, and she loves to cook, and that quarter is the best part of my life, and I really do think that keeps us young. Anyway, take care.
What a good point.
Yeah.
What a good point. How about you?
He said old dad. That kind of resonated with me.
Well,
I feel like I'm an
old dad
too.
Old dad. You know, better. You could be a young dad if you were 18 or 19, and that would be complete. So what do you think about that? He said a quarter of his life sleeping, half his life working, and the other quarter of his life being with his kids doing things.
So yeah.
What do you think
great.
About that?
That's a beautiful thing, isn't
How old
it?
Are your kids now? What are
they
their ages?
They are 6 and 10.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And yeah, the time with them is the best spent time, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so even when it's chaotic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, oh my God, they're perfect. They never complain or they never do anything like that.
Right.
But isn't that what you look forward to?
Absolutely.
You look back on your day.
Whether you know it or not, you look forward to it. That's the thing.
But I think you've got to look for sparkle in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a problem. First of all, if you're depressed, it can be a problem, in which case you should seek treatment. That can make a difference. But sometimes we don't think about what makes sparkle, and it's the people around us. And if you're a dad or mom and you're taking care of your children, that sparkle, or your friends who you can help, that adds sparkle. And I think he brings up a really good point.
Yeah. When you go to bed at night, sometimes you kind of replay your whole day,
of course,
what you did. And definitely when you're sitting there thinking about what was the best things I did today, it's usually surrounding your kids, your family, whatever.
It's nice to replay good things.
Yeah.
So part of that is, and I think, I wrote a book up 20 years ago, and I'm writing another book about this, about how to live a long, sweet life. So part of that is identifying where sweetness is in your life and activating that and spending more time in that. Because sometimes we spin our wheels spending time in situations we really don't have to and we don't want to, and we haven't even thought about getting rid of it. I'll give a good example. Do you have a junk drawer at home?
No, several of them, I feel like. Okay.
What do you do when you want to clean your junk drawer?
You should ask my wife this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it's usually not me cleaning the junk.
She's not on the show.
She usually organizes the junk drawer.
She's not on the show.
She's not.
So I've got a couple drawers. I know Brad's got junk drawers. He's not going to tell us right now, but he's giving us a thumbs up on the junk drawer. But if you take the junk drawer and you simply overturn it and put it into a laundry basket, and then you re-put the stuff back in the junk drawer, you find that you can easily get rid of at least half, if not three quarters, of the stuff that's in there.
Okay.
Maybe we have to do that with our junk drawers of what we're doing with our lives.
Yeah.
We just have to dump it, push reset, and start over for our day and say, what do we want to do to make our life sweet? And in his case, he said it's that one quarter that he spends with his child cooking and doing things. Sweet.
It's good stuff. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we take a break, Zorba, it's time again to hear from your favorite backseat driver.
I see him coming down the road.
Who are they?
Yeah, can't get that.
Tell me.
The grammar police. I mean, I could just have the Wizard of Oz do that. Keep on coming down the road. Okay.
Wait, what are they called again?
The grammar police. Oh, no, it's the
grammar police. Got a little false start there. I like that. Okay, here's a new one, Zorba. This came from a division of the grammar police that really likes to put the P in police.
Okay.
This is from the urine police. The following email is from Judy in Niagara Falls, New York. Judy writes, "Hi, Zorba and Carl. Love your show. Mm-hmm. Podcasted versions keep me company at the office every day."
Wonderful.
That's great.
Wonderful.
You can listen anytime out there. "At work, I listened to your show discussing earworms." Remember that? The whole earworm discussion?
Yep.
"And when earworms, something, a song that gets stuck in your head.
Right.
"And when I went home to break up ice and shovel snow off my driveway."
Which is a common thing in—
It happens in Niagara Falls.
In Western New York.
Yeah. "I found myself, I had an earworm. It was the Grammar Police jingle, the one we just heard." She says, "I tried counting backwards. I even tried the prime numbers to no avail. I whacked at that ice pretty forcefully, trying to rid myself of that usually delightful jingle. At least my driveway's clean now. Although I'm a grammarian, I've never ticketed you, and this is the thanks I get." That's how she ended her email. What do you think of that? Do you think it's still stuck in her head while she's chopping ice?
Stuck in my head.
Now
it is. My head. I'm not doing ice right now, but it's stuck in my head.
All right. Do you want to join the ever-growing Grammar Police Force? Just post on our Facebook page.
Oh, no. That's right. On our Facebook page.
Or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. More calls coming, more of your emails, and we'll put together a healthy breakfast recipe for smoked salmon with scrambled
delicious,
eggs.
Delicious.
It sounds good. All that coming up on Zorba Pasture on Your Health from PRX.
Thank you.
Carl Christensen in Buck Studio in Madison, Wisconsin. You're listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health, and he's right across the desk from
me.
He's right there.
I am.
And he's, what is he wearing? Oh, wow, you're badgered up today.
I'm badgered up.
You got a lot of badger gear on. He's got
badger.
A badger.
What sound does a badger make?
Can you give that a shot, please? I don't think I want to try that.
I don't know if they make a sound.
But they have to. It's probably like they kind of make, grunting.
I don't know. You never hear a badger. Well, you hear badgers.
Snorting.
Say, go, you know, you hear badgers at a football game, but
sure.
Not those badgers.
Right.
I mean, the real badger. I don't know what a badger meant. I mean,
there's a badger at the Vila Zoo. That,
is there a badger? Have you ever heard it talk?
I think his name's Bucky. I'm pretty sure.
Does he
imagine
talk?
That.
Yeah, it's got to be. Imagine
he's behind glass. That's I haven't heard him talk.
You haven't heard him talk. Have you seen him walk?
I've seen them waddle. Yeah, they kind of waddle around. It's a nice waddle.
But you know what? They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You don't want to get between a badger and its food. You don't want to get between a badger and its food supply because you will lose, and the badger, it'll be one. It'll be Carl zero, badger one. That's right.
Speaking of, do badgers eat breakfast? Because we have a breakfast recipe here.
Badgers do eat breakfast.
They do, okay.
Oh, yeah. They love scrambled eggs.
They do. Badgers. This is smoked salmon with scrambled
with
eggs. And we don't do a lot of breakfast recipes.
How do we get onto the badger thing when I'm talking about
Because you're wearing all this
eggs.
Badger stuff.
Oh, that's right.
Badger hat, badger shirt.
Yeah, I knew there was some reason about it. Woof woof, a badger. Anyway, let's get out of the badger theme and go into the recipe. So, smoked salmon. So, first of all, did you have smoked salmon much when you were a child?
Yeah, actually, my parents love smoked salmon. So we'd see like a roadside stand. My dad would always pull over and buy smoked salmon.
And buy.
So I had a lot of it.
I mean, smoked salmon is expensive.
It
so
is.
It really is. So smoked salmon at a big box retailer, I won't tell you who they are, but they're the biggest retailer in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not Walmart. They're the other big retailer.
Okay.
Is $1 an ounce. That's ultimately what it costs. So it is expensive.
Yeah, it's up there.
But if you go to a deli, it's $2 to $3 an ounce. It's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about it. 1 tablespoonful of butter.
1 big tea butter.
Now, what did we often use back in the day on recipes? We said 1 tablespoonful of
lard.
No, not lard. We never
I took
went
a stab at
that
it.
Far back. No, you were wrong. But I used to talk about margarine.
Oh, right.
And the importance of margarine.
No good.
So, margarine, I mean, first of all, they're trans fats, basically, in most margarine because it's in a stick.
Yeah.
But we used to say butter is bad. Well, butter in large amounts is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to something like scrambled eggs, you got to use butter.
Use the real
you
butter.
You have to use it.
Yeah.
Two large eggs. Now, where do you get your eggs? At a store or at a farm stand?
A store.
Do you ever go to a farm stand to get
Every
eggs?
Every once in a while. And they are fresh, aren't they?
They're
taste
totally
a little better.
Different.
Yeah.
They are very
They're not as
different.
Big, the but egg they yolk. Taste better.
They're really, really good. So if you're in the country at a farm stand, support your local farmer. Often these are really cottage industries farmers. I've got like 3 or 4 places, 2 large eggs. Country fresh large eggs, if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Tablespoonful of milk.
Okay.
2 ounces of smoked salmon cut into narrow strips.
Okay. Two ounces of smoked salmon.
That'll cost you about $2.
Yeah, there it
Not
is.
Not cheap.
You
Not
did
cheap.
The math right there, real quick, right
I
in front of our eyes.
That's right.
$2.
That's right. I looked it up. I looked it up on my smartphone, found what it was in Costco. That's what it is. A teaspoon of chopped chives.
1 little tea chopped chives.
That's right. You can often get fresh chives in grocery stores these days, but I have in the summer. Do you grow herbs? At all?
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter has a little herb garden.
Chives are great. Yeah. They grow throughout the season. They're wonderful to have. A slice of whole grain toast.
1 slice toast.
That's right. Whole grain toast.
That's
what you want to use. Not white. And of course, salt and pepper.
S&P.
Okay. So let's make it. Melt the butter in a skillet with gentle heat until it foams. Now, when it's foaming, it's actually giving up some moisture within the butter. Let it foam for maybe 30 seconds or a minute. If you like the taste of brown butter, it's 3 to 5 minutes where you let it foam. It does have a change in a taste. In a bowl, whisk the eggs with milk, seasoned with salt and pepper. Pour the eggs over the foaming butter. It's very important. You got to let it foam and get that moisture out for 2 to 3 minutes. And what you want to do is you want to take a soft spatula and move it to the minute so that curds are forming.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to YouTube and you look at how to make good scrambled eggs, you look under any one of the chef's recipes, it's not like mixing it up and whisking it. It's moving it to the minute so the eggs go into the center, and when they have a soft foam curds in there, remove it from the skillet, then you add the salmon, then you add the chives, pile it onto toast, and serve it immediately.
That sounds great.
Doesn't it?
I'm hungry.
Doesn't it?
I would
fresh
eat this right now.
Pepper on the top of it. It's really good.
It's great.
It's wonderful. It's really nice to serve your kids. And in your case, it would be nice to serve your wife. Why don't you do it
this
weekend?
Okay, I'll surprise her with some breakfast in the morning.
Why don't you surprise her and say, honey, sit down, fresh coffee, move the kids over to the side, turn on the TV.
Just shove them to the side.
Time, and we'll feed them first.
Okay, yeah,
and
sure.
Have them sit in front of the TV. Let them watch those cartoons they shouldn't be watching, okay. With tricks. You know,
G.I. Joe and Transformers in the morning.
You got it. That's exactly it. And serve this. And if you want this recipe, you can get it at Zorba Pastor on Your Health. You can find that recipe or, of course, on Facebook.
Back to the phones at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's try to help out a caller now in Fontana, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And hello to you and Zorba. I've got a little story and a question related to it. When I was a young lad, about 7 years old, way back in 1954, I was staying with my grandparents on their farm in central Illinois. And my grandfather was a large and loving man, and he'd stuff his Chesterfield's regular cigarettes out in the palm of his hand.
I got it. My Uncle Sal smoked Chesterfields, unfiltered Chesterfields, right? Yep.
But I loved him dearly. Mm-hmm. And one day when he came in from the field on his old Farmall M tractor, I ran up to him and said, Grandpa, Grandpa, come quick. And I took him over to where there was a dead chicken laying in the barnyard with ugly white bugs crawling all over it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd never seen them before, so I asked him about them.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat me on his knee and proceeded to tell me that when he was a young man of about 20 years old, which would have been about 1916, his appendix burst, and he got peritonitis.
Right. Terrible.
Which was life-threatening, if not lethal at that time. And he proceeded to tell me that they opened up his abdomen and packed him full of those
maggots.
White bugs called maggots. And they saved his life.
Yeah, they did.
I could hardly understand at that age, but I never looked at bugs or nature the same way.
Well, they did. I had a couple of nurses in my office that I have for many, many years. They've since passed away. They both worked in World War II. And, that was before penicillin and antibiotics. And they had maggots in a little bottle in a jar.
Wow.
And so when they had soldiers with open wounds, they often took out the maggots and put it on there. Let me tell you something. You have a festering wound, you have these little white maggots on there, you don't really care.
So they clean the wound.
Yeah, they clean the wound. And you know something? It worked. Made a difference because they ate some of the flesh. I mean, they didn't work as well as penicillin by any means, but yeah. So I loved it. So your grandfather said, yeah, and of course he was smoking his Chesterfield cigarettes. You should have at 7 said, Grandpa, why are you smoking those cigarettes? They cause lung cancer. But back in 54, they didn't. Well, they kind of knew it, but they didn't talk about it. So it's a great story.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for taking my call and giving me your opinion on that. I really appreciate it.
You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's go to a voicemail now. Let's try to help out a caller in Missouri.
Hi, I had a question regarding the use of Accutane for acne treatment. I was listening that it can be very useful, and in my experience, it is very useful. But what about the long-term effects and side effects of having used Accutane? Would somebody develop GI issues, et cetera? Thank you. Love listening to your show. Goodbye.
So Accutane is a drug that's used for severe acne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go through a series. You have to be certified to get it. For instance, I couldn't prescribe Accutane unless I took a course. There's a little course you have to take. I don't know if it's an hour or 2 hours, but you have to be certified to test, among other things, because anyone who gets pregnant while on Accutane has a great risk that the baby will have birth defects. So it comes in very specialized packet. The person cannot get it. A woman cannot get it unless she's on birth control when she gets it. So that's really a big issue. I haven't looked up the side effects recently about Accutane. I know that it can elevate cholesterol. It's been around. Accutane's been around for decades. So right now, there's no evidence that there's any long-term side effects. But there definitely are short-term side effects. You get dry skin. People get chapped lips. Has a whole bunch of side effects to it. But it can reverse acne in people with severe acne that can often have disfiguring problems. So no long-term that I know of, but in the short-term, anyone who considers it has to look at it. And once again, you usually get it from dermatologists or from people who actually just specialize in there. It's a great drug with significant side effects.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Before the break, Zorba, it's time to scroll through the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page for another edition of Facebook Feedback.
Facebook Feedback.
I thought
that was right on the beat. That was right.
You got it?
Come on. It was right there. In the pocket.
In the pocket. That's right. Look, I tried to play accordion for 3 years and it failed.
I still am begging you to bring that in.
You've got to know where your strong suit is.
Please bring the accordion in for a show.
It's heavy.
Wheel it in. Didn't you say it was in like a wheeled case?
But they don't work really well. They're tiny.
Grease them up. Bring it in.
They're kind of wheels that fit on the bottom of a chair. My father, the terrible. I had to take it to school. Oh, God.
Sounds like a nice memory.
One day.
We'll bring it in.
Have you ever played accordion?
Sure. Yeah, a little bit. I'm terrible
at it.
Serious? But it's fun to.
You think you could do
it?
If I brought it in, you could probably play it.
I could try. It's a piano on one end.
Yeah, you might do better. Or you could play the piano end and forget all those other keys.
Forget the bass notes?
You forget.
The bass notes are my favorite sound, though. I love that low, the buttons.
Yeah, too many buttons, though.
Too many
not
buttons.
Enough
a lot
time.
Of, yeah.
Too many buttons, not enough time.
Is that your next book? All right, Zorba. There are always plenty of listener questions, so let's get to this. First off, this is from Heather.
Are we having fun yet?
I think so. Heather writes, what are your thoughts on deuterium-depleted diets and deuterium-depleted water? I have stage 4 cancer, and I am now learning about this, but it's very hard to follow as there's not a lot of literature other than these foods are bad, these foods are good. Or at least a cookbook. Thank you very much.
Well, it's not easy to get because it's not easy to manufacture.
It's too new?
Well, it's been around. Deuterium was extremely important to make the atom bomb. They had to find it naturally. They had to go to these lakes in Norway, in the bottom of these lakes that were maybe, I don't know if they were 450 feet deep. In other words, the lower water in the bottom of the lake had deuterium because deuterium has a different, it's not H2O, it's called heavy hydrogen, and it's got a different atomic number, basically, of what it is. It is a nucleus that contains one proton, one neutron, so it's different because normally, water does not have H2O, so it's different. It's not H3O, which is really what deuterium is. So there have been some research on whether or not cancer therapy may work with deuterium. There's no way from what I know, I think it's extremely difficult to manufacture. And so it's been cited in alternative literature, something people should try to get, and maybe we should have more deuterium naturally in our water. But I don't think we know very much about it, and the answer is you can't get it because it's hard to manufacture. And that's the way life is. But it's sort of in the it's in the health sphere, in the blogosphere as to what this deuterium is and whether or not it should be more in our water and for people, especially who have cancer. That's about it. It's sort of full stop. I don't understand exactly what it is, and I don't think anyone does.
Okay. We're going to change gears a little bit. This is, Facebook feedback, a lot of different kinds of questions. So this one's more of a personal question, and this is from Peggy in Racine, Wisconsin. Zorba, when you have time to read a book to relax, would it be a mystery or a nonfiction book?
Oh, I vary. I vary between. I love biographies, so I'm going to read the biography. Who's the guy who runs Saturday Night Live?
Lorne Michaels.
Yeah. Great biography. I'm ready to read his.
Oh, cool.
And Bill Gates.
Okay.
Because I like biographies of people who are alive. I like dead people's biographies, too.
Okay.
I've read maybe 5 to 7 biographies about Lincoln to try to figure out who he was. So that really interests me. And then I like nonfiction. You know, I like nonfiction. So I recently read about the Panama Canal, the building of the Panama Canal, which was really quite interesting. I occasionally read a medical book. I like humor books. There's a guy named Simon Rich. He wrote a great book called Glory Days. These are 18-minute, if you listen to it, half my reading is listening, 18-minute stories that are hysterical. And then I read another book recently. I Heard You Called In Dead, and it's a novel about an obit writer, and I couldn't put it down. I read it from start to finish. And then I'm reading a book about life after death that I just got sent to me, like what happens to your life after death. I read a lot. And then I read Buddhist books. I guess I read a lot.
That's a potpourri of topics right there. That's
I read a whole bunch of things. I never, in my family, nobody read in my house. We had no books.
Okay.
We had no books.
Really?
No books. We had two newspapers, and all my and my parents watched television. I never saw them pick up a book in my life. And I never saw any of my relatives pick up a book.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, now I think, how did I pick up reading? Maybe I should be watching more TV.
Yeah. Watch more TV. That's the question. That's the
anyway, she asked what I read. I've answered the question. Next.
Next. Yeah. Thanks, Peggy in Racine, Wisconsin. All right. If you have a healthy living question for the good doc, just post it on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More of your calls coming up. Yep. More emails.
Absolutely.
More voicemails.
Absolutely. And more of us.
More of us, because you can't get enough of us. More healthy living topics, too.
Absolutely.
So keep it right here.
That's
all.
Keep it here. On Zorba. Zorba Pastor, on your health.
Carl Christensen in Buck Studio. I'm sitting right across the desk from Dr. Zorba Pastor. He's right there.
Ba-ba-da.
We do need some horn fanfare, don't we? Actually, because I hear you do
that
a lot.
You know what?
You need a real sound effect.
I would love a sound effect of a horn.
I'm writing it down. Horn fanfare.
I bet horn fanfare.
Yeah.
That's right.
Recently we had, Brad was firing off rim shots from the snare
drum. Yeah, just a short, I mean, nothing big. You know,
just a little.
That's all.
Anyways, let's get to our topic. Actually, I got to give the phone number, 800-462-7413. That's 800-462.
I'm keeping you away from your day job. That's right.
800-462-7413. Healthy living. Let's talk about socks.
Socks might improve sleep.
Really?
That's a kind of a question.
This is research.
Kind of interesting. Well, it's interesting research. So first of all, during the day, I was taught that normal temperature is 98.6, right?
Right.
It's really not. It's normal temperature is really between 97 and 99.
Oh.
So many do 98.6 because that was on the mercury thermometers. There was a little red line. Did you ever see a mercury thermometer?
Sure. Yeah. You don't see them often anymore.
Well, we don't. They got rid of it. Because
they're poisonous?
It had mercury.
Yeah.
Well, because they would break. They had a tiny amount of mercury, but it was getting mercury out of the environment.
Didn't you tell me a story once? You used to play with mercury?
Of course, yeah.
I remember you saying that.
I got a bottle of mercury. I went to a
every kid
chemical,
got a bottle.
Yeah, Larry Berman, my friend Larry, and I went and got a bottle of mercury, and then we would pour it on coins. You'd put it on coins that would make it shiny silver, give it to your friends. Oh, no, we used to play with mercury.
Wow.
Yeah, that was back in the day. We all lost some IQ from it. We would have, you know, all gone
you're
to Harvard
fine. You're
if it weren't for the mercury. But anyway, 97 and 99. 98.6 may be normal. But, and children, some nights will run a little bit hotter, a little bit cooler, really depends. But as night approaches, your core temperature drops by 1 or 2 degrees, getting ready to sleep.
Makes sense.
So in other words, if you put it in, and that's why people often like the room cold, you know, because they sleep better when the room is cold. But very few people say, hey, I'm going to sleep, I'm going to warm up the room. Let's keep it nice and hot, because you want it to be cold. Well, it turns out there's a process. Distal internal vasodilatation. In other words, the way you cool your body is by opening up the blood vessels close to the skin. So basically, it cools your blood. I mean, that's basically how it works. But if you keep your feet warmer, okay, this particular looked at studies, if you keep your feet warmer, it may signal your body to open up other areas of your body to cool it down. Because if your feet are warm, the body says, I've got to do more work on vasodilatation to get the rest of my, you know, the rest of your skin cooler. So it might cool you down quicker. And there was a very short study, not a big study, where they took basically college students, put them in a bedroom, 65 degrees, 60 degrees, you know, and they put socks on them, and they found that they actually went to sleep about 6 to 8 minutes sooner than if they didn't wear socks. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about. I think I would try it for like a month for anyone. I wouldn't do it for a day or two, but I would try it for a month for anyone who has trouble sleeping to see if that helps you decrease your core temperature to get that good night of shut-eye.
Now, do you wear like funny socks with different, you know, customized socks or with your initials on them?
Socks are not where you express your personality. Because for years I did the sock laundry in the house and I just have all white socks because I thought to myself, pairing socks, too much work.
Not enough time in my life.
I don't want the last 3 minutes of my life, you know, when I realize I'm dying to think, my God, I wish I paired those socks correctly. Do you have customized socks?
No, but some people you see, you know, especially during the holidays, you see a lot of socks because people go to parties, take their shoes off, and you see people expressing themselves through their socks.
Do you have fun socks?
I don't have any fun socks. I was just curious. I thought it'd be interesting
if
someday.
If I had fun socks?
No, if
people give me fun socks, I get them as gifts.
And
all
you just
the time.
Throw them out?
No, you can't throw out a gift.
No, you can't.
No, I put them in the sock drawer in the corner and I don't wear
them.
Sometimes I wear them. You're right. Holiday parties.
See? Everyone's got their funky socks. I probably wear fun socks
5 to 6 days a year out of 365 days. Okay. So 360 days I wear white socks and 5 days I wear funny socks. This has nothing to do with the study we're talking about.
What I'm getting at here, Zorba.
I don't think it's the type of sock that makes a difference.
It doesn't matter what sock you wear. But what I'm getting at is I think I always thought it'd be funny to create a company where it's customized socks and you can, you know, pick out your favorite, maybe put your initials on them, pick out a pattern.
Yeah.
And it would be called Socks to Be You.
Socks to Be You. Oh, God.
Brad did not like that.
No, he did. Let's get back to the show.
What are we doing? 800-462-7413. That's the number to call anytime. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's try to help out a caller now in Rosholt, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help today?
My name's Kathy, and I just wanted to ask Mr. Zorba about back pain.
Sure.
It's right in the middle.
Right in the middle of your back. How long have you had it?
Oh, about a year and a half, 2 years.
A year and a half. Any accident that occurred, or did it just come on it all of a sudden? Tell me a little bit about how it happened. Did it just happen right away? Tell me about it.
Well, I've done a lot of lifting and bending in my life. That's what women do, heavy lifting. And right where a woman hooks her bra in the back.
Yes, right that upper part. Right.
Yeah. So I had x-rays, and I have arthritis in my spine.
Right. Terrible. How old are you?
75 and still alive.
But 75 and still alive, that's right. Unfortunately, you know, you've got the good luck to make it to 75 and the bad luck of making it to 75 with a curriculum vitae, I call it, of what's going on with your back for years. And if you've done any manual labor, you're going to have some arthritis. And you know, the genes, you're going to have some arthritis in your upper back. You know, low back pain is the most common, but back pain can be a big issue. What are you taking for it right now? Are you taking any anti-inflammatories?
No, I just take Tylenol.
Okay.
Sometimes Aleve. I do not take any prescription medication.
Excellent. Let me go for a bit. So when you take Tylenol, how much do you take? What do you take? A couple tablets?
Yeah, just two, and that maybe lasts 4 to 6 hours.
There's an 8-hour Tylenol that you want to go to, and it's called long-acting generic, of course. Don't buy the name brand. And it's an 8-hour, 650-milligram tablet, and it lasts for 8 hours. And I tell people, you take one tablet 3 times a day automatically if you've got back pain. If that doesn't work, you up it to 2 tablets 3 times a day every 8 hours. 1-2 in the morning when you get up, 1-2 in the morning, 1-2 in the evening when you go to sleep, and 1-2 in the middle. It really can make a big, big difference. And then on your bad days, then you take some, you know, Aleve with it. Double the dose on the bottle to 2 tablets. You doing any exercises for your back at all?
I was doing some, and it does help. And then I tried the ice pack. I just, you know, it's frozen. I just lean on that. But anyway, I just kind of deal with it.
Right, but that's a way to do it. Also, you may want to look at some yoga stretches. So the thing about the upper back is that it's incredibly stable. We have ribs in the front that sort of connect it. You know, it's a cage. It's the thoracic cage. So you can have arthritis in there that we don't really see very well. We can see a little bit with x-rays, but it's incredibly stable. And what you want to do is develop some twisting exercises that work that may help those joints. You've got lots of joints in your back. Every single rib in your back articulates with somewhere along the spine. And so I would recommend, if you've never done any yoga, to see if there's a practitioner nearby where you may be able to do some yoga stretches, and that may make a difference in your back. This is where yoga shines. And if not, go to YouTube, put down yoga stretches for your back, follow it on YouTube. Following it on paper is really difficult. The thing about YouTube is you can do that. And I would try some of those back exercises. And then the final thing is, look at your bed. How firm is your mattress?
When I get up in the morning, it's like, oh, my God, everything hurts. And my legs feel weak, probably because I'm just in motion.
Right, right, right. So you want to look at better sleep in your room. We spend a quarter to a third of our lives in the bed in our room. Make sure the temperature is down. Make sure the blankets are not too heavy. Look at your mattress. Sometimes adding some pillows can make a difference on how you get that under control. Because if you made it to 75 and you have arthritis and you make it to 85, guess what? You're still going to have arthritis, and you want to do that. Yoga stretches, look at how you're sleeping. That can make a difference. And especially in the morning when you get up, in a hot shower in the morning can also really help.
I get up like 4 o'clock in the morning and go to bed early because I get up early.
Yeah. Well,
I don't have any problems sleeping. My brain just wakes up. And it doesn't stop thinking and thinking. I got to do this. I want to love this person. I got to do something for this person because it's really not about me. It's about other people I love and care about. I've been a caregiver all my life, nursing home caregiver, 35 years. I took care of my mother until she died at 92, and it was awesome. I watched her take her last breath.
You know something? You have done a great job, and keeping your back well is going to keep you well, too. So thank you very much, and thanks for sharing that. Take care now.
I will.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's go to a listener voicemail now. This is from Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
I was wondering, my doctor recently put me on a few new medications for my depression and sleep issues, and they are trazodone and fluoxetine, but my medication app keeps saying that they have a bad side effect with each other, considering they're both SSRIs. I was wondering if that's something I should actually be concerned about. Thank you.
Well, fluoxetine is an SSRI. Trazodone is not. Trazodone is a different antidepressant. It's in a class by itself. It's more of a tricyclic antidepressant that's different. And you can take them both together. In fact, a lot of people do. They'll take trazodone at bedtime, fluoxetine in the morning. If it works for your depression, they're fine. Minimal side effects. You have to think about something. So there's a placebo effect. If you think something works, then it works better, or it works, even if there's nothing. We know placebos, if it's a pill form, have nothing in it. But there's the nocebo effect. Hmm. And the nocebo effect is, if you read about something and it has a side effect, you then believe you have the side effect, and you may not really have it. So you have to be careful when you read these things to determine whether or not it's there. But the answer is, you can take both trazodone and fluoxetine. They're two different kinds of antidepressants, and they work well.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we push off, Zorba, as you well know, we have doctors who listen to this show, and quite often they'll chime in with their take on something that we talked about here. So we created a special segment for this. It's called Doctor to Doctor.
Doctor, doctor to Doctor.
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 And doctor.
It's doctor to doctor. It's doctor to doctor.
Is that you playing that?
Yeah.
Hello, medicine.
Hello, medicine. People aren't sick of that one yet. All right, this following email came from a listener who signed her message as Dr. Michelle.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Hello, Dr. Pastor. I'm a University of Wisconsin alumni audiologist, currently living in Madison, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
In my work, I often fit hearing aids on patients.
Yes.
The personal, social, and potential financial effects of an untreated hearing loss is very impactful on one's quality of life.
Absolutely.
We've talked about that on the show.
Yes.
Many years ago, I fit an elderly man with his first ever pair of hearing aids. When his family brought him in for his two-week follow-up, his children noticed he had significantly improved his ability to walk. His steps and strides had improved.
I can believe that easily.
And my working theory is that he could now hear himself shuffling.
Sure.
And he knew he should be hearing footsteps.
Right. And, and his home environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes on, he started to self-correct his gait based on a renewed access to auditory cues.
Yes.
Just want to share this very cool experience we shared. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and keeping health-focused conversations active and engaging in Wisconsin.
Well, hearing aids are really underutilized. I mean, it's becoming more and more common. And it's usually because hearing aids are associated with older people. And the reality is, let me tell you something. If you're old, you look old with or without a hearing aid. It really doesn't make a difference. You still look old. It's not as if you're 85 or 75 or 65. And you may think you're 20, but, you know, if you go down the street and you ask people what you look like, you probably look like you're a young 65 or an old 65. And the hearing aid has nothing to do with it. And it really is vanity. A lot of people don't get it. There's an expense with hearing aid. Don't get me wrong. They can be very expensive, although different stores can be cheaper. And there are over-the-counter hearing aids that are now better and better. But often it's vanity, vanity, all is vanity. If you need a hearing aid, get it. It's good for your brain. And she just showed you how it's good for your gait.
Have a comment or healthy living question for the good doc?
And can hear us?
Yeah, you can hear us. Just post on the Facebook page or send us an
email at Zorba at WPR.org.
All right, should we do this again next week?
Yeah, I didn't put in a joke.
More of it, please. I left the spot there for you.
Next week.
All right, next week it is.
Thanks.
If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web.
At ZorbaPastor.org and, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime.
Anytime.
Leave us your question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
From WPR.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.